You're listening to Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the program, we'll talk with a guest who says we the people, us, well, we're actually capable of ending gridlock in Washington.
But first, smokers younger than 21 in the nation's biggest city will soon be barred from buying cigarettes. Yesterday, the New York City Council voted overwhelmingly to raise the tobacco purchasing age.
That got us thinking, would something like this make sense here in Wisconsin, or is 18 the right legal limit to make tobacco purchases? You can join us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you think of that idea? You can also send an email, talk@WPR.org.
Joining us now is Donna Wininski, Policy Director at the American Lung Association in Wisconsin. Donna, thanks so much for joining us today.
And thanks for inviting me. Happy Halloween, gentlemen.
Ooh, happy Halloween back to you. We're going to get to your reaction on some of the New York City legislation in just a few minutes, but I'd like kind of like to start with some background about what's happening here in Wisconsin right now. As I understand it, the age to buy tobacco is 18 in Wisconsin?
That's correct.
And what does the teen smoking rate in the state look like right now?
The smoking rate, the latest figures that we have is in high school, they're smoking at right around 14, a little bit under 14%, and the middle school rate is 2.5%. Now, that having been said, what we are finding that's a little more alarming is that for the first time, teens are starting to smoke little cigars in a greater abundance than cigarettes. So while the cigarette smoking rate is going down, we're starting to see more and more teens pick up the little cigar habit.
So that 14% rate you mentioned is different than the cigar habit? It's not tied in with that?
The way the survey is worded, it said smoked a cigarette. So technically, yes, that is cigarette smoking rate. And they're right about even now, according to Department of Health Services figures, or another tenth or 0.2% higher for the cigars. So we don't want to be seeing kids just switching products. What we want to be seeing them doing is actually not starting them, or if they have experimented with it, with quitting.
And overall trends, as you look back over the last, say, 5 or 10 years, what has that looked like? Has that been going down? Have we plateaued? Where are we on that?
Well, with youth smoking, we've certainly been going down. If you look at the last 10 years, high school smoking rates at one point in time were well over 30%, and so they've been cut more than half by now. The adult rate also has trended down, but that's become a little bit more stable. We're hovering right around the 20% rate for adult smoking.
Now, as I understand it, New York City will be the first major city to pass a bill like this, but I know there are some other smaller towns, I think mostly on the East Coast, that have also passed legislation like this already.
I wouldn't be able to name them for you, but I do believe you're correct. I do know of some other states that have raised their tobacco purchase price to age 19. Alabama, Alaska, New Jersey, Utah, they have at least raised it to 19. And I believe the reason for that is they're trying to get it out of the high schools. Most kids are finished with high school by the time they're 18, so that by raising the age to 19, they can at least prevent the seniors from buying it for the lower classmen.
So moving to New York right now, the vote there in the city council, apparently pretty overwhelming. It sounds as though the mayor is planning to sign it. And your reaction is it's going to help? This is something you're in favor of?
Well, as a national organization, yes, we're in favor of it. There is some evidence that youth smoking rates can be brought down by raising the age to 21. There's some data that shows that age group between 18 and 21 is still a very experimental period in young people's lives. They've graduated from high school. They've either gone away to college. It might be the first time that they're away from their parents and their community and support system. They might be out in the workforce in their first apartment. So it is still a very vulnerable period in their lives where they're experimenting and trying new things. So some of the logic behind raising it to 21 is that puts it kind of on the same par as alcohol and pairs them together. And if you can prevent a kid from starting to smoke by the time until they're 21, the chances are extremely slim that they'll pick it up after that.
But in terms of tactics that are used to help cut down on the rates of youth smoking, this one sounds as though there's not a lot of research behind it that either one way or the other that it makes a lot of difference.
You're right. There isn't as much research on this as there is in some other areas. There is some research on it that shows that it does have an impact. It's not the level of research that we would consider necessary or the Centers for Disease Control would consider necessary to be termed a best practice. We do know what works. There are three or four other things that we think really work considerably better than raising the age. So your question going back to is this something we should be doing in Wisconsin? My answer to that would be perhaps, but I don't think that now is the time. The best practices really are very simple. One is creating smoke-free environments. We've done that very well here in Wisconsin. For the last 3.5 years or so, we've had a very strong smoke-free air law. What that does is twofold. It protects people's health when they're in the business place, the workplace, but it also kind of signals a new norm in standards, a new behavior that smoking isn't the norm, that kids don't look around and see everybody smoking and think that that's what everybody does. So smoke-free environments have a big impact in discouraging teen smoking. Price has a big impact. Wisconsin's tax is that right now, I believe it's the 10th highest in the nation at $2.52. So that means a pack of cigarettes costs anywhere between $6 and $8. And kids who have limited income, many of them will consider that as a factor. They will decide whether they really, that's how they want to spend their money. On the other hand, when we are talking about some of these other products, the little cigars, dissolvable products, new things like that, they're taxed at a much lower rate. So they're considerably less expensive, and we do believe that that's why many kids are turning to the little cigars. On top of that, they come in a lot of candy and fruit flavors, strawberry, chocolate, vanilla, and when you add those two things together, they're very appealing to an underage person who's kind of in the experimental stage of life.
Yeah, I want to come back to those in just a second. One of the things I forgot to mention about the legislation in New York City is that in addition to raising the age to 21 to be able to buy this, they also set a minimum price, I think, for a pack of cigarettes at $10.50. And so that was something also that was opposed by a lot of shopkeepers and so forth in the city as well. That price increase, though, that might be something you might find more attractive here in Wisconsin.
Well, and we've always believed that price increases. There is definitely data and evidence to show that price increases do deter youth smoking. I think the formula is for every 10% increase in price, there's a corresponding 7% reduction in smoking, in youth smoking, and a 4% reduction in adult smoking. So we do know that there's a direct correlation with price. That's why it's so important to get these other products, especially the flavored ones, up there into the same kind of price category that cigarettes are.
And let's talk about those other products for a second. I know a lot of us have seen them for sale and so forth. They're taxed at a different rate? They're priced at a different rate? I guess I have to say I'm really not familiar with how that all works.
Well, they're both. But when you look at a pack of cigarettes, which is $6 to $8 in Wisconsin, and at least $2.50 in that are taxes right there. And yet when you look at a comparable pack of little cigars, for example, you can buy a package of 20 of those for $2 to $3. I mean, if you're a price-sensitive kid, which one are you going to buy? Because essentially they're the same product. They're virtually identical as cigarettes except for the paper that they're wrapped in. So those little cigars are exploiting a loophole in Wisconsin law, and they're enjoying a very nice price advantage over their counterparts.
And one other thing I forgot to mention, boy, I spend most of my life forgetting to mention things, but one of the other things that this legislation in New York took a look at was the idea of these electronic smoking devices, e-cigarettes or whatever they're called, and those are also included in this. And your stance on those is what?
Our stance on those is there's just not enough research out there to know whether they're valuable. We think that certainly the industry is making unsubstantiated health claims in terms of them being safer as well as them being good cessation devices. We just don't have the data yet. There's more than 250 varieties out there, major brands, and each one has its own unique formula in terms of the chemicals that are in there, the amount of nicotine that they might contain. And there just needs to be more research on them. So I think New York is including them simply for that reason alone, that they're not going to give them a pass until they know a whole lot more about them.
We're talking with Donna Winitsky right now about New York City's decision to raise the tobacco buying age to 21, and we would like to hear what you think. Do you think that 21 years old is where the age should be to buy tobacco products here in Wisconsin, or is the current age of 18 okay? It's been working for a long time in the minds of some people. Maybe we should keep it there. Give us a call. Let us know what you think at 800-642-1234. And don't forget, you can also post to the Central Time Facebook page. We'll take your calls right after the break. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell. We're talking with Donna Winitsky, the policy director of the American Lung Association in Wisconsin, about New York City's decision to raise the tobacco buying age to 21. And we would like to hear what you think about this proposal. Is this something that could or should fly here in Wisconsin? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. And don't forget, you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We've got some calls lined up. We'll be getting to those in just a second. But before we do that, Donna Winitsky, one of the questions I'd like to ask is about enforcement. You know, we can raise the age if we like. We have a current age of 18. But in terms of enforcing laws on tobacco purchasing, how overall is Wisconsin doing, do you think?
You know, I wish I had that number right at my fingertip, but it varies from county to county. I know there have been some counties that are extremely successful and have their sell and buy rate down in the single digits, and that's where we'd like to see it. I know the federal government requires that illegal sales be maintained at a particular rate. Again, I don't have that number right at my fingertips. I'm sorry. And part of the statewide comprehensive program is that in the local communities, they do go around and do these compliance checks, and they send in 17-year-olds. They're not allowed to lie about their age. They must be truthful. If the clerk says, "Do you have ID?" "Oh, no, I forgot it." And they're checked for ID, or they're supposed to be checked for ID, as a matter of fact. And again, as I said, the rates can vary from county to county, from very low up into the double digits, which we certainly don't like to see. So the enforcement mechanism would be pretty much the same. But part of the problem with that is with the funding cuts that continue to happen to the statewide tobacco prevention and control program, fewer and fewer of those checks can be done. They used to be done several times a year. Now they might be done once or twice a year in a particular community. And that's, again, the result of having that prevention and cessation program cut repeatedly over the last 10 to 12 years. So that's another one of those proven methods that I was going to discuss, that before you raise the purchase age in Wisconsin, we really need to be funding our tobacco prevention program more fully than what we are doing. We're funding it to the tune of about $5.3 million. The Centers for Disease Control says we should be funding that at 10 times or more than that result. So right now, that's an area that we should be focusing on more than raising the age. Another area that we should be focusing on is making sure that all of the gamut of smoking cessation resources, all of the nicotine replacement therapies, all of the different forms of counseling, all of the proven cessation methods are available for people who want to quit smoking. And again, we're falling a little short on that front. So those are the areas that really need to be addressed before we start looking at things like raising the minimum age to purchase.
Okay, let's find out what listeners have to add to the conversation. Mike joins us, and Mike is in Ashland County. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Say, the reason I do not support raising the age of smoking cigarettes to 18 is very simple. At what point are we going to call these people adults? If they can marry, if they can vote, if they can serve our country, they should be smart enough to be able to decide whether they should smoke or not. And maybe the age majority should be raised to 21 the way we're going.
So, Mike, do you think that maybe, you know, with the raise in the drinking age, it seems like some people have already, at least in their own mind, answered that question?
What I'm saying is that even the drinking age should not have been raised at 21. I grew up in the days when it was 18 when you could legally drink if you so elected. And it was more of a social thing at the beer bars that we had all had back many years ago. I guess the statement is that if you want to raise the age majority to 21, then let's do it. And then you're an adult at 21 with all the decisions that are required that adults have to do on a daily basis.
Mike,
but don't
thanks.
Split it. Go ahead.
No, go finish your thought.
Well, I don't think it gives mixed messages to people. When am I old enough to know what I'm supposed to be doing?
All right, Mike, thanks for the input. And let's go to Joe now. Joe joins us, and he is in Oshkosh. Hi, Joe.
Well, I don't think the age should be raised, but for a completely different reason than Mike was saying. The emphasis should be squarely put on the sellers. And there are compliance checks done, and there are fines issued for that, but there's far too few of that. There's probably because there's not enough resources to do more compliance checks. But the other big thing is that, and this is, I would suggest this as a future show, is take a look at the license that you need to sell cigarettes. Here you have adults coming into a community, being able to sell a product that cannot be used in a safe way. They make thousands and thousands of dollars every year off this product, and it costs them $5 as a license as a, at a minimum, and $100 at a maximum if the county or the city chooses to adopt a state ordinance to sell cigarettes. The licensee should be at least on a par with alcohol, which is, what, now $1,000? Probably more than that. And yet, nobody ever does anything about the license. There's far too much emphasis on the buyers, the purchasers, the kids, and there's not nearly enough emphasis on the people who bring the products into the community and make all the money off of them.
Joe, thanks for your call. Donna Wininski, what about that, that emphasis that Joe says ought to be placed on sellers as opposed to buyers?
Well, the seller does receive a reprimand and a fine if an illegal sale takes place. But again, I agree with both of these gentlemen. They have very good points. But we know what works. We know that a comprehensive program works. As the last gentleman pointed out, there are fewer checks because we don't have a comprehensive funded program. We know that increasing the price of tobacco products works, and we know that smoke-free environments works. And that's really where we should be focusing our resources in Wisconsin. I wanted to point out that there is a piece of legislation being circulated right now. It's called the Backpack Tobacco Act. And what it does is it raises the tax on all of those other candy and fruit-flavored products that the kids are being so attracted to, and it makes it comparable to cigarettes. So there is no price advantage. And the second thing that that bill does is it puts everything behind the counter so that, like cigarettes, kids have to go up to the clerk and they have to ask for the product. That would go a long way in reducing a lot of the underage illegal sales. So I mean, there are things to be said for each of these arguments, and there's certain amount of research out there that can document the effectiveness of each of these. But those are the four most proven effective means of reducing teen smoking.
So why is it, do you suppose, that in New York City that this age to the raising of the age to 21 is being so overwhelmingly passed? I mean, is this just politics, or do they actually think it's going to make a difference?
Well, I think New York has a lot of those pieces in place. They have the highest cigarette tax. If you actually add up all of the taxes in New York, the city tax, the state tax, I mean, it already costs probably $10. I mean, so when you're talking about having a minimum price of $10, New York City is probably there already between all of the different levels of taxes. So they have that piece in place. They have a comprehensive smoke-free air law. That piece is in place. I don't know what their funding is for their tobacco prevention and control program, so I can't speak to that. But they have a lot of the best practice building blocks in place already, so they are perhaps in a better position to be looking at a little bit more outside-of-the-box policy, such as raising the minimum age to purchase. Every state and every city, for that matter, is in a little different position. I'm just saying that here in Wisconsin, we don't have all of those building blocks in place yet to put us in a position where we should even be talking about raising a minimum age.
Let's go to Tina now. Tina joins us from La Crosse. Hi.
Hi. I sort of agree with the first gentleman that went through, Mike, that you can't be, 18 years old, you're either grown and you can make decisions. If you can make decisions, and I'm retired military, to join the military and go and kill people, then you can decide if you choose to drink or smoke. I'm no fan of tobacco. My father died of small cell carcinoma. But I think a big thing would be is pull the subsidies for the growers. Tobacco is a really expensive and finicky crop to grow. And the great state of Virginia and North Carolina suck in a lot of subsidies that support their tobacco farmers. have them grow at free market and sell at free market.
Tina, thanks for the call. And Donna Wininski, I'm not sure what role tobacco subsidies play in all of this. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know exactly to what extent tobacco subsidies play either. So I'm afraid I am unprepared to answer that particular question.
Let's go back to the Backpack Tobacco Act for a second, which I have to say is kind of a thrill to say.
Tobacco Act.
There you go.
Backpack. Roll off your tongue, doesn't it?
So that's being introduced here in the Wisconsin legislature?
Right. It has circulated through the legislature for co-sponsorship. We're just waiting at this point in time for the leadership in the assembly to assign it a bill number and to direct it to a committee for review. So it's a little bit interim stage right now.
And so as it's being circulated, what sorts of things are you hearing about it?
Well, even the most, it's surprising. We were very pleasantly surprised. We thought we might have a little bit of a difficult time in the Assembly Republican caucus because they do have a very anti-tax platform. But they do seem to get that this isn't a tax increase. It's a tax equity proposal. We're not increasing the cigarette tax. We're just eliminating that loophole that these other tobacco products have that make them so much less expensive. If it looks like a cigarette, if it smells like a cigarette, it should be taxed like a cigarette. If it has the same health impact as a cigarette and contains tobacco, it should be taxed like a cigarette.
All right. Well, Donna Wininski, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Donna Wininski is the policy director at the American Lung Association in Wisconsin, and we've been talking about the move in the city of New York to raise the age to buy tobacco to 21.
You can weigh in on that on the Central Time Facebook page. That's Central Time on WPR. Do you like what New York did? Is there something else you think should be done or not done when it comes to tobacco control and prevention? Coming up next, we'll talk with a guest who says that we the people are capable of ending gridlock in the nation's capital. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell. I'm here today filling in for Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.